You're listening to Making Money Online with Lisa Johnson, the podcast that tells you what it really takes to build a business and the simple steps to get you there. I'm determined to share with you the reality of easy, simple business marketing tips to make passive income so that you can start making money online. This episode is sponsored by Samantha Labanzu, who is a multi-award-winning diversity and inclusion strategist and coach, and my really good friend and client. Are you ready to take your LinkedIn game to the next level? Well, get ready to join the waitlist for Samantha's highly anticipated book on profitable and inclusive strategies for LinkedIn success, out on May the 1st. This book is packed with insights, tips, and actionable advice that will elevate your professional and business presence on the world's premier professional networking platform. But wait, there's more. When you join the waitlist and grab your copy of the book, you'll also receive access to her hugely popular LinkedIn Mastery Masterclass, valued at over £547 for only £47. That's right, a comprehensive guide to mastering the art of LinkedIn, only £47 with your book purchase. Unlock the secrets to building a profitable and inclusive LinkedIn presence. Join the waitlist now and be among the first to access this invaluable resource. Don't miss out on the opportunity to supercharge your LinkedIn journey. Visit the link now in the show notes to join the waitlist today. Elevate your LinkedIn game, make meaningful connections, and achieve new heights of profitable and inclusive success with Samantha Labanzu's upcoming book. Hello, and welcome to this week's podcast. I want to talk a bit about beating the odds. We talk a lot on this podcast about how you can use adversity to push you forward. And we've listened to so many people now who have had adversity in their lives and it hasn't stopped them doing what they wanted to do. But actually, I think a lot of the time, having some kind of adversity or wanting to beat the odds and be the person that you can be in spite of people saying you can't, can not only mean you're doing it anyway, but you're doing it better than you would. And it's pushing you to do something that maybe you wouldn't ordinarily do. And our guest today is in exactly that position. So I'm here with Claire Taylor, who is a digital marketing consultant. Claire focuses on search marketing, and we're going to get into that a little bit later because I think that SEO in itself is becoming really, really important for online businesses. So welcome to the podcast.
Hi. Yeah, it's great to be here, Lisa.
I want to go back to when you were five. So you're in a school playground and your life up to that point is pretty normal. Your health is pretty normal. Tell us what happened.
Yeah. I don't really know, to be honest. I just remember that I was playing in the school playground with my friends, like you do when you're five. And all of a sudden, I just couldn't really see anymore. And I just saw all these bright lights flashing in front of my eyes. And I had to sit down in the playground. My friends went and got one of the dinner ladies to come over. And then they called my mum to come and pick me up. My sight then came back to normal again. And they rushed me off to hospital. And I very quickly was diagnosed with an autoimmune disorder called Still's disease, which is very rare and not really that many people have ever heard of it, including lots of doctors when I go and see doctors.
Oh, really?
Doctors.
It's
quite rare, yeah.
So what does it do?
It's kind of similar to sort of arthritis, I guess. That's probably the easiest way to describe it that people would kind of be familiar with. So it basically means that your body fights against itself. It can't recognize the good cells as opposed to the bad cells. And it can affect any part of your body. So some people have it in their organs, some people have it, you know, specific parts of their body. I had it mainly in my eyes and my joints.
Wow. Okay. So how long did it take for you to get that diagnosis?
It was actually really quick. I was very lucky. I went to Addenbrooke's Hospital in Cambridge, which is a very well-renowned hospital. There happened to be a consultant there that knew about this disease. Wow. And was doing lots of studies in that kind of arena. So he diagnosed me very quickly, which is really unusual because lots of people have to wait for years to get a proper diagnosis.
So how has that affected your life and your sight, like growing up and then, you know, starting a business?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose the first thing was I was in and out of hospital a lot, going backwards and forwards for appointments and things like that for quite a number of years. And so the first thing that happened was I didn't build those friendships that a lot of people do.
Right.
Because I wasn't at school. So it was like, well, I don't want to play with her because she's not here all the time. I'm going to play with someone that's here every day. So from that perspective, from a social perspective, that definitely had an impact on me. But then the other thing that happened was as I got older, I was very sporty. I was in all the school teams, all that kind of, you know, I loved sport. And I would get lots of pain in my joints, in my knees particularly. And I would go to the doctor and the doctor would tell me, you have to stop. If you don't stop, you're going to end up in a wheelchair. You're going to, you know, it's going to change your life dramatically.
And that's heavy, like at that age, like you don't want that to happen at that age.
No, no. But unfortunately, I didn't listen. Well, fortunately, I didn't listen. I did cut back, but I carried on. And to this day, I'm very headstrong in things like making sure that I'm always active. So I do a lot of walking. I do a lot of running. My knee hurts all the time, but I know how to manage it. And I think the other thing that it's taught me is that actually you have to work at stuff. So it's given me a really strong work ethic because I'm like, I don't care what anybody tells me. If I know that this is right for me, I'm going to do it. I know my body better than anybody else. I know my mind better than anybody else. And so I'm going to do what I need to do for me.
That's actually a really hard lesson to learn because we are so used to hearing people in authority say something and believing it, especially when it comes to health. Like I've been in that position where people are saying to me, oh, no, this is right and this is right. And I'm like, but I know my body and I can feel that this is wrong. And they've just, you know, I've had to go, well, they must know. They must know because they're doctors. But actually, they don't know everything. And you do know your own body more than them. So what did that do to you? Did that make you more determined to do all of the things that you wanted to do?
I think so, yeah, because I think that it's changed now. I think people that have this diagnosis now aren't told that they should stop exercising. So just to sort of clear that up a little bit, if there's anyone out there that's been diagnosed with Still's disease. But I do think it's taught me to question things a lot more.
Yeah.
And it's taught me that I know how far I can push stuff and I can manage that myself. I don't, you know, a doctor's always going to be a little bit more maybe cautious.
Of course, yeah. How's it affected your mindset?
I think it's made a massive impact. I'm much stronger because of it, I think, because I've had to, from the point of view that I've had to rely on myself a lot, because when I was little, I didn't have that friendship group that lots of people have. So I was very reliant on myself, which isn't necessarily a good thing, but it's taught me to be very independent. And then it's also taught me, again, to question everything. So I'm not going to take what somebody says necessarily verbatim and believe everything. I'm going to want to test that out for myself and try
things
out myself.
Great thing to have when you're in business, to be able to have that curiosity and want to go and see how it can be done differently or why something is happening. And you're an analytical person because the thing that you do is search marketing. How did you get into doing that?
Well, like lots of people, I started off in the corporate world. So I worked for a company that provided IT solutions into all the big food retailers in the UK. So I very quickly become aware of how the internet was changing the way that businesses worked and how they marketed themselves. And, you know, things changed in my life. It meant I didn't want to be working 50 billion hours a week in the corporate world anymore. I wanted to do something on my own. So a real opportunity online to help businesses with the search marketing stuff, because it was very new when I started, nearly 17 years ago now.
And people often say when it comes to, like, when we're talking about search marketing, like the other term that we always hear is SEO. That's the term we hear. And actually, people have pretty much said, if you're an online business, and like you're an online business coach or consultant, those kind of things, you don't need SEO. Like SEO isn't something you'd be concentrating on. Do you think that's changing?
Definitely. And actually, if you'd asked me that question even 5 years ago, I'd have said that actually the opportunities probably weren't there, but it has definitely changed. I think more people are aware that there's stuff out there. And I also think this is actually where accreditation is really good for people, if they have that accreditation, because there are a lot of professionals out there that need to use their hours to keep up with their professional qualifications and are actively looking for different types of courses and things that they can do. And I think that's changed a lot in the last few years.
Yeah, it's definitely changed in our business because we didn't really use SEO. Everyone found us by social media, but social media is becoming more difficult in different ways. You have to put more effort in these days. And, you know, we have the accreditations, we have a training centre. And with the training centre, it became really obvious really quickly that the easiest way to market it was going to be by looking at search marketing and making sure that people could find us if they were looking for accreditations. And I think more and more online businesses are doing things that people are now searching for. Like maybe they weren't searching for those things because they didn't know coaches existed. But now you will go to Google and look rather than go necessarily straight to social media. And so I think it's brilliant that you are specializing in this particular area of online businesses, because I don't think there is anybody that is doing that well. And I've seen the results that you get. So if we were looking at, let's say, like right from basics, if somebody who has an online business is looking at getting better SEO and getting leads from SEO, where should they start?
Like a lot of these things, research.
Yeah.
It's understanding what people are actually looking for. So if you know what people are looking for when they're looking for somebody that does what you do, then you can use that information to niche your website really well. And I know niching is something that we talk a lot about in business, but it's so important for, particularly for small online businesses from an SEO perspective, because you are not going to get found for the big phrases. You are not going to get found for business coach.
Yeah.
You're not going to get found for business strategist. You need to find something that has enough searches, there's enough people looking, the marketplace is big enough, but the competition isn't overwhelming. And that gives you an opportunity to get yourself visible in the search results. And I think a lot of businesses think it's too difficult or there's too much competition out there, so they just don't bother with it.
Which is such a shame, because there it is, even if you aren't only using SEO, it is another way that you can get leads coming in and get people to know about you. You know, we always talk about multi-layered visibility. That is definitely a layer that you can use. What about when people, like, I'm thinking about clients that I have who are like, okay, well, I'll use SEO, but I can't think of those words. Like the four, you know, we always hear about this four-word phrase that we're supposed to use in SEO. What if they don't know what that is? Is that something you help with?
Yeah, I mean, there are free tools you can use. Google Ads has a free keyword planner tool that you can use where you put like your seed keyword in there. So that might be a service you provide or a product that you offer, and it will give you suggestions for things people are looking for. You can then take that into something like Also Asked or Ask Answer Public, those kinds of tools, which are also free, which will give you lots of ideas for things that you can use to help your website become better optimized. That's where I would start if you were doing it yourself. Obviously, we do that for our clients all the time, and we find those niches, and that's actually what we're really good at, is finding those opportunities online where people don't necessarily see them.
Yeah. What kind of results? Like, we know when we talk to ad specialists, and we know when we talk to people that are doing different types of marketing, like, we can kind of know the results. Like, ads will say, you know, we can get them down to £2 a lead and that kind of thing. How are you measuring results when you are using SEO?
You need to have some analytics set up. Most people use GA4, which is the free Google Analytics tool, which lots of people also don't like very much because it's a little bit less user-friendly than the old version. But we use that to set up reporting, like client reporting, which can track the whole customer journey from the point they get to your website, where they're going, where they're spending their time, and where they're converting. And what that allows you to do is, if there are particular pages on your website, for example, where people are getting there and dropping away, you then know you need to go and look at that content, you need to look at that page and try and work out what's going on.
Because metrics and data is everything in business, and actually SEO gives you that. It can show you, these analytics can show you why people aren't buying, not just where they are.
Yeah. And the key thing about SEO as well, search marketing really, is those people are already looking. So when somebody finds you on social media, that's very different. That's what we call interruption marketing. So you're hoping they're going to be interested in what you have to offer. Whereas from an SEO perspective or a search marketing perspective, that's pull marketing, because people are looking for you already. So if they find you and your website delivers what they need in terms of content and, you know, ease of use, all those lovely user metrics that we like, they're far more likely to convert than somebody that just sees a post on social media.
Yeah, it's almost like footfall on social media, isn't it? I like the words interruption marketing because it is that. Whereas if you are looking particularly for something and you find exactly what you're looking for, then someone's going to buy straight away. There's none of this nurturing for, you know, 3 to 6 months that we hear about online.
Yeah.
Which is great. Okay. So lots of people aren't using SEO. Like, we know that. Lots of people think of it as a thing you no longer really need to do for an online business. What kind of results are you seeing with the clients that you get?
Yeah, depends massively on the type of client, market, budget, all that stuff. Happy to say that. To give you a couple of examples, we work with an e-commerce website, which is really great for us because it's really easy to track everything. We know exactly what's going on. So we launched their website and we've launched a new website for them and we've increased their sales by 800% in the space of 18 months working with them on their SEO.
And just through SEO?
800%, and they were already a well-established business. They're not, this isn't like going from £1 to £800. You know, this is a massive difference for that business. We also had another business we started working with early this year. We took their traffic in 6 months. We saw an increase of 300% in their traffic, but a 500% increase in the number of leads they were getting.
Amazing.
And that's because not only are you trying to get people onto your site, but search marketing also for us is about what happens to them then. And if your conversion is set up correctly, you have the right call to actions, people can find the content they need really easily, it's obvious what they need to do, then you can also increase that conversion rate at the same time. We've seen some great results.
If somebody wanted to start, how long does it, I know there's, it might be a how long is a piece of string answer, but how long does it take for people to see the results of what they're changing?
It's a slow burn. It's not like ads. If you run a ads campaign, it's instant, right?
Yeah.
SEO can take time. So we tell people they need to give it 6 months before they expect to see anything.
Okay.
And they need to give it a year before they can really start seeing things motoring along, because it takes time to convince Google that it should be showing your website instead of somebody else's.
Yeah.
And I think this is where people go a little bit wrong, especially if they're trying to do it themselves, is they do a little bit, they don't see immediate results, and then they give up.
Yeah.
But you have to
wait
be consistent.
It out. Yeah. And the consistency is really important. And I think as well, just having it there as part of an overall marketing strategy. I think so many people are just reliant on Facebook for their marketing, which terrifies me. Like, I'm always talking about all the different ways that you should be marketing. You should have an actual marketing strategy with lots of different things in it and evaluation to see what's working. And I think just adding in SEO, even the basics of SEO, are going to make a difference long term. And you want a long term sustainable business model. Like, you want something that only works for 10 minutes and makes you a bit of money. You want something that in 2 years' time will still be bringing you in those leads.
Yeah, absolutely. And what we'll see sometimes is, you know, if we're starting with a client that's pretty new from an online perspective, we might actually have a bigger ads budget to start with. And until that SEO work starts happening, and then when that starts to increase and they start getting more organic traffic, then we can, if they want to, most don't, they actually want to see more and more leads.
Yeah,
but there's
keep
the
both,
opportunity.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. If it's working, why wouldn't you keep doing it, right? But there is that opportunity then to kind of move your budget around and reduce that ad spend and put that money into something, some other kind of marketing activity.
Yeah.
But it just gives people a little bit more flexibility. And I'm all for multi-channel approach. You need to be doing lots of different things.
Yeah, I think that's so true. When people talk about search marketing, are we these days just talking about Google?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I know it didn't used to be that way, and it's just, it's narrowed down to that now, isn't it? Like, no one searches anywhere else. When you're using SEO though, and things like, people have told me that SEO is really important on things like Pinterest, for instance, and podcasts and that kind of thing. Is it the same approach that you use?
I think it's not the same. I think there are things that are a little bit different. So when you're, say you're doing something on social media, for example, you're basing it on your ideal client, right? You know who your ideal client is. Whereas on Google, it's not quite as soft as that, because you're looking for people that are searching for what you do. So you don't really have the same information about that person that you used to. You don't get it anymore.
Okay.
So So it's a little bit different. You're going after phrases rather than thinking about the person, if that makes
Yeah.
sense, in quite
More
a
like the solution to their problem is the thing that you're putting out there. Amazing. I love that there is this other way that people need to be doing more of. I realize that people offline have been doing this for years and years, and people online are kind of still a bit scared sometimes of it because they don't know if they're going to see that end result. But if we're trying with Facebook ads these days and we don't see the end results with that a lot of the time for a period of time, then we may as well be trying this as well and doing different things. And, then evaluating at the end of a year which of your marketing efforts have worked rather than just everybody else is using Facebook ads. So that's what we'll do. Like sometimes it takes somebody to step out and try a different way. And I think that you being there to help people do this is amazing. So if people want to come and find out more about how you can help them, where is the best place for them to go to?
Okay, I do have an SEO starter guide that I've
Oh,
put together for
amazing.
people. The URL is clairelouisemarketing.co.uk/SEO, and people can go and find it there, which goes through all the different elements that make up search marketing because it's not just SEO. We use that phrase a lot, but because that's what people know, but it's much bigger than that.
Yeah, it is bigger than that. Go and check that out. We'll put the link in the show notes. Thank you for being here. Continue to beat the odds. I love that you're doing exactly what you want to do, having your own business. I love that you're still curious enough to not listen to everything that everybody says, and you're finding your own way in this, in the world of having an autoimmune, which I do understand, having an autoimmune myself and not letting it stop me. I think we need more people to be talking about the fact they have autoimmune diseases and are still being very successful in life as you are, because it shows that it doesn't have to stop us. I will be back to speak to you guys next week with another episode. If you've enjoyed this episode or you have any questions, please do let us know in the Facebook group, That Strategy Group, and we will be back next week to talk about another issue about making money online. Thank you for listening to Making Money Online with Lisa Johnson. If you'd like to get hold of my guide to launching, go to lisajohnson.com/launch and let's get you making money online.